Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
I think they're scared and should be scared to some degree of Kyrie walking in 2019. I know he had a great year, but you know there are people in Cleveland that will tell you that the Knicks should be considered a real threat for Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie had talked about it, you know, playing with the Knicks with some players in that Cleveland locker, from what I was told. You know, things can change. Obviously, you go to Boston, you become the face of the franchise, you're on a winning team, maybe the mindset's changed significantly, but you know, with Rozier, he's not Kyrie, and you want Kyrie to be your starter, but you know, if Kyrie decides to walk, I wouldn't let Rozier out of my sight until I get Kyrie locked in.
Do you expect Kyrie to be here long term, or do you think next year is his last year?
I don't think it's a given either way.
And I got a phone call, and the voice on the other end of that phone call is a trustworthy person, and he was saying to me that Kyrie Irving very badly wants to be a New York Knick. Kyrie Irving wants to come home.
Ah!
Does Kyrie Irving have that New York state of mind? A lot to get into there. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. So you hear there in that little montage, that last clip was actually Pablo Torre of ESPN from last year going into the offseason, where he was hearing that there was some interest from Kyrie Irving and going to New York.
Haven't you learned from Felger? Don't give any context to your quote that supports your argument. It doesn't matter what year it's from or what the context was.
Trying to be fair here. So is Pablo Torre. And also the most important piece there is Chris Mannix, who on his podcast this week, and I believe it was with, he was with Sham Sharania, hopefully I'm saying that correctly, in which he talked about the Celtics are scared of Kyrie Irving potentially leaving next summer, and the Knicks are viewed as a potential destination. Now, he's originally from that area, grew up close to New York City, West Orange, New Jersey, went to Duke, of course, for that year, and he's now the face of this franchise. Do you think this is a legitimate fear on behalf of the Celtics? And then you heard Mike Gorman, too, who was on a, I think it's a CLNS, I think it's CLNS Media. He was on a podcast with those guys earlier this week, and him saying it's, there's like no guarantee that he'll be here past 2019. I don't know. It just feels like where there's smoke, there's fire with this. It feels like there's some legitimacy to this thing, at least in terms of a concern.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree with that. It is a little disconcerting to hear this. I would say it would be nice to get some reassurance from Kyrie that his plan, look, plans change, but that his plan, at least at this point, is to remain with the Celtics long term. And when you have people who are plugged into the Celtics, like Chris Mannix and Mike Gorman, expressing this sentiment, I don't think it's just their opinion. I think it's an informed opinion, you know, based on. And Mannix is basically saying flat out that people in the Celtics organization are concerned. So, you know, maybe the Celtics are being a little paranoid because they gave up a lot to get Kyrie, and it's a major investment, and they wanted to bring in that transcendent player for a while, and they were, finally were able to do it. But it's not something that I look at and take these comments lightly, Jim. Like, I could see this guy walking.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really consider it before because it feels like this is such a good fit for him. And prior to him going down with the knee issue, it just felt like, okay, this is going to be the face of this franchise going forward here. This is your superstar. This is who they're going to build around. But maybe he's just got other interests. Look, he's got this stupid movie coming out this summer.
Uncle Drew.
Yeah, like part of his leaving Cleveland is that he wanted to be a bigger superstar in the NBA. He wanted to be more marketable. And then there's this. This doesn't help either. So there's a new story that dropped, I think it was either last night or this morning, on the New York Times that Soap on Deb did on
Kyrie. Yeah, I used to work at the Globe. I worked with him at the Globe.
And most of it is about the kooky flat earth theory. But there's some stuff that was left on the cutting room floor, and you sent this to me. You can find it on Twitter, and I'll actually retweet it right now. So you can see this. So this was Kyrie Irving being asked by Soap on Deb if he sees himself as a Celtic long term. When you're watching the NBA Finals, what's been running through your mind? Obviously, you guys came close but didn't make it there this year. Do you look at the Celtics as a long-term destination for you, or are you taking it year by year? Kyrie's answer, well, I mean, I know that question's going to come up a lot over the next year just based upon where my deal is. And, you know, that time will arise, and when it does, I think I'll have a better, clear, concise answer for a lot of people that are going to ask. Yeah, I just have to take it as being present with the Boston Celtics, you know, and just going into this year with the mindset of trying to win a championship.
Ugh.
Yeah. How do you come away with that feeling? Yeah, he's going to be a Celtic long term. He's going to sign a long term deal. That just feels like, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this year, and then I'm going to opt out, and I'll see what my options are.
Oh, man. Look, I'm all for a player I've said this time and time again, no matter what sport we're talking about, I side with the players and trying to put a team over the barrel and get that money. So maybe that's what it's about. But I don't know. Could you have not answered it so vaguely? It's just, as a set, look, I'm still a Celtics fan, and I want to see this guy as part of the building block here for a long time, and he should be, unless they get LeBron. We'll get to that. But in terms of Kyrie being here, like, I thought this was the guy. I was under the impression, like, yeah. He's going to end up signing a long-term deal. I really didn't get myself concerned about this, Chris, until this week with this Mannix thing, with Mike Gorman, and now this piece that was left on the cutting room floor, this piece from the New York Times. Just feels like this is a lot more wide open than I thought it was.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I love Kyrie Irving. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I was ecstatic when they were able to make the trade for him. And at that time, I'm thinking, this is great. You know, superstar in his prime is going to be here for the next 5 or 6 years. And, you know, Kyrie will have a choice to make, but I think the Celtics will too. And that's, do you give Kyrie the max? Are there concerns about the knee and the health moving forward? And do you look at him and say, yeah, this is the guy that we want to build around? I would. But I'm just saying, you know, it's not just a one-way street.
Do you think the potential injury factor with that knee is the biggest issue? Or do you think that there might be concerns of him trying to get to Hollywood or maybe...
I mean, those could be concerns, but I think it's mostly the knee. I mean, there are people who feel like, you know, I don't want to take credit for this, but there's... I had a conversation with somebody at the Final Four who's really plugged in college basketball, and they were saying that going back to Duke, people felt like Kyrie's knees were an issue. Like, this has been an issue for him, and it will be an issue going forward. So it's not just sort of like, oh, the hardware's out, good to go. Like, this is something that there are people who've been around this guy that have coached this guy that feel like this could be something that, you know, we're not talking Dustin Pedroia level, but, you know, the knees are going to require some maintenance throughout the course of his career.
Again, that line, the second to last line here from this part of the article that was left on the cutting room floor. Yeah, I just have to take it as being present with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I just have to take it as being present in this prison cell for the next
right.
year.
Yeah. It doesn't read well, and you're interpreting it and we're projecting it.
Yeah,
bit,
I mean, but I don't think Kyrie meant it that way, and he does tend to be sort of a philosophical guy. And, you know, somebody who thinks about things and he's not going to give you the answer that you want just because that's the answer you want. He's going to give you the answer that he feels. And so that's fine. And I appreciate that honesty. And obviously we're projecting and reading into it. But there's no way you can look at that and find it comforting or reassuring.
Yeah. All right. Well, so maybe Kyrie Irving isn't the future with the Celtics. Maybe. Just maybe it is LeBron James, the greatest player on the planet.
Bring on the king.
Bring on the king. Yes, we'll get to that. And the sound from Stephen A. Smith that shook Celtics fans to their core earlier this week. Coming up next here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris Casper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let me just give you the list to get this out the way. LeBron James is going to have a conversation with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, they go offering the most. They're willing to do anything they can to keep him here, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, the wife is going to have a major, major say in
anything
that.
Except get him another good player on the team.
All right. Okay, so you got that going on. Boston's going to have, he's going to have a conversation with Boston. He's going to have a conversation with Philly. Obviously, the Lakers. Houston is in the mix as well. They're going to go after him. Make no mistake about it. So you've got Cleveland, Philly, Boston, Houston, LA, Golden State. I don't think there's anything that Miami can do, but obviously because he's there and brought him 2 championships, that's a conversation that Pat Riley, you know, you got to remember, Pat Riley made amends with Dwayne Wade. Y'all know how LeBron feels about D-Wade. These are all conversations that they're going to have. Those are the 7 teams.
Sports Up Celtics Show, Jim Murray and Chris Casper and you at 617-779-0985. That is the clip that shook the core of many a Celtic fan earlier this week. Stephen A. Smith on First Take saying, yeah, the Celtics are going to have to sit down with LeBron James this summer because, well, especially if you watched the second half of that god-awful game for the finals last night and LeBron talking to the press after the game. Like, he's done. Like, he ain't going back to Cleveland. Yeah, he said he's going to speak with his family and we'll see what happens. But, like, just right off the top there, Chris, you don't think he's going to be back with the Cavs, right? Like, that's a foregone conclusion.
I mean, the only way he goes back to the Cavs, in my opinion, is if he's crazy or feels really guilty. Or I'll add a third thing, and he's mentioned this in all seriousness. Like, if his wife is like, no, I'm tired of moving. Like, we're not doing this. The kids are here. Our roots are here.
Sure.
Like, you know, basically if she goes Giselle.
Yeah. Very good there. So the Celtics, though, you know, okay, they're just doing their due diligence. It's good business to have the sit down with this guy. How real is this? Probably not. But, man, the thought of LeBron, Horford, Tatum, Brown, to me, that matches up with the four All-Stars of the Golden State Warriors pretty damn well. He is still the best player on the planet, even if you don't happen to like him and his antics off the court. And, man, he does make it difficult sometimes. But I want it. Like, he's the best player on the planet. You still have a window here where you would win a championship or two, I have to believe, with that core, and you still have building blocks of the future in Tatum and Brown. I do it. And spitefully, because it makes so many of you so mad. Some of the outcry this week has been just so, oh my God, so childish. I can't believe the response from some of you. Like, I can't, no, I would not give up my season tickets and I've had them for 40 years over my dead body. Would I root for LeBron? Please, you'd be there day one. And it'd be almost impossible to get tickets. And if nothing else, you could probably resell them for triple the value. I need this to happen, Chris. It's probably not going to, but just overall, in terms of the basketball and the fit, like, this would be the best fit for him. It really would. That isn't just me being, you know, slanted a little bit because I want to be right and I would like to have him here. Just, if I'm being completely objective, the best fit for LeBron James for the next few years, to have talent that he can work with, but, you know, arguably one of, if not the best coach in the league right now, just in terms of smarts and the way that they play, this is the best fit for him.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, if the idea is to topple Golden State, and he talked a lot the day before Game 4 about how Golden State's built and what you need, and you need basketball IQ, and you need guys who can sort of, I went back and read the transcript, you need guys who can think outside of the box, he said, and process the game and all these things. And as I'm reading the quotes, I'm thinking, this is the way the Celtics play.
Right.
This is Brad Stevens' brand of basketball. So I think it would be the best fit for LeBron if he wants to topple the Warriors. There's no question about it. I think that, you know, the question really is from the Celtics side, how would LeBron fit into what they're trying to do? And how much do you want to sort of mortgage for a 33, soon to be 34, or at least in December, he'll be 34-year-old LeBron James?
Do you worry about the mileage on him now?
I do. I think this year took a lot out of him.
Yeah.
And I think Chauncey Billups, or somebody on ESPN, I think it was Chauncey, was saying that the way LeBron had to perform this year and getting the Cavaliers to the finals, he looks at that as something that will take a year or two off his career.
Yeah, and I heard it was Cedric Maxwell on NBC Sports Boston with Felger. I think it was last Sunday. He said the same thing. And I look, playing all 82 games, as many minutes as he played.
Oh, like, yeah.
He was making the how he broke it down was, okay, say LeBron was going to start showing his age at 36. Now he's going to start showing it at 35. If he was going to start showing it at 35, he'd throw it at 34. And it's really because he had to carry these bums this whole season. Something else to blame.
Yeah, and that's the thing people don't, I think people have missed a lot of times with the, you know, preps to pros guys, is throw the chronological age out of the equation. How many miles is on that body? You know, how many miles, what's the mileage? What have you put on that body? Because, yeah, you came into the league at 18, and now you're playing this many years. You might only be 33, but you have the mileage of a 15-year veteran. So, you know, if you had a guy who was 23 when he came into the league and played 15 years, at that point, that guy's 38 years old. So, you know, the mileage is the mileage. There's no way around that.
Do you get wrapped up in any of the thing that some of these Celtics fans have that don't want him, saying we'd lose your identity, you would be selling your soul?
No, I mean, again, same people that didn't want to trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett. I mean, if there was ever a fast food restaurant drive-through championship, it was the new big three when it was Garnett and Allen. I don't remember anybody, I do remember people complaining initially, but once they started winning, I don't remember anybody complaining about that and complaining when the banner went up. I think the interesting thing with LeBron's relationship with the Celtics and Celtics fans, I think is really fascinating, because I think that LeBron's legacy and the Celtics are inextricably linked. You look
totally.
At the beginning of his career, he couldn't get past the Celtics. I think that was a big impetus in sending him to Miami and forming that super team so he could finally vanquish the Celtics. The final game that the new big three played at TD Garden was LeBron's 45-point tour de force with the Heat. He basically ended that era as Miami wins in seven. And now the last you know, 4 years, three out of the last 4 years, the Brad Stevens era Celtics can't get past LeBron. So there's this thing, I think, that mentally, this block that Boston basketball fans would have to get over to have LeBron, this guy that you loathe and that you've loved to, like, make fun of when you could beat him, and that you've loathed him when he's beating you, to suddenly be on your team. I think it would take a little while, but ultimately, once they won, I think he'd be like any other guy who was here. They'd embrace him.
Look, I think the best comp is the Minnesota Vikings. If those people who loathed Brett Favre
Good
and were
point.
Basically getting, rooting for him to get hurt during his duration that
it's
he spent with the Green Bay Packers, they learned to love him. He almost got them to a Super Bowl when he went there in 2009. If those people could learn to love Brett Favre, you too could learn to love LeBron James, even if you bought the LeBron's a douche shirt and you've been programmed to hate him for
I
the
knew
last
you want to go to the calls, but another just quick comp. And I know things changed and it was a little different before. But, I mean, people were willing to, it seemed like, embrace Alex Rodriguez when he was going to come here.
Sure.
That, you know,
yeah,
that Nomar
February,
was going to
yeah.
go out. And I know it's different because at that point he hadn't played for the Yankees. He hadn't tried to slap, you know, the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's glove, you know, like he was slapping, doing a purse slap pretty much. But still, you know, Alex Rodriguez was a really polarizing figure in baseball that not a lot of people liked and not a lot of Red Sox fans liked. But then when the idea was he could come here, suddenly they started to warm to it.
Cam and Taunton, you'd take him, right?
You'd be an idiot not to. I understand everybody here hates LeBron. I don't know why. I mean, I know he's kind of a DB egomaniac, but he's not. They, like I said to you the other day, Jim, they cheered and chanted MVP for Kobe Bryant, who we all know is a dirtbag's dirtbag. But they hate LeBron, who has never been accused of what Kobe was accused of and has never gotten a traffic ticket and stuff like that. But, I mean, look, if you wouldn't take the best player on the world on your team, you're just an idiot. It's just it's as simple as that. You're a freaking moron. You all get over yourselves. You all be there opening night, cheering him on, whatever number he's wearing, whatever color he's wearing. You'd be there cheering for LeBron James that night. And if you say you're not, you're just lying to yourself. The guy's the best player in the world. But I just want to get to these finals. I mean, J.R. Smith ruined the finals. Game one was competitive. Game one looked like, well, we're going to have a series. J.R. Smith completely sucked the life out of these finals. You imagine how happy the national media must be today, Jim. They're like, you know, we'll never have to go to Cleveland again, except for LeBron's first game back this year. We'll never have to go to that hellhole ever again.
Cleveland is not a hellhole, for the record. Cleveland's a very underrated city. I like Cleveland.
I don't know. I mean, you got that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They got a nice little downtown, some good restaurants. It's fun. The Flats is back, man. It's undergone a renaissance.
And it's a worse Faneuil Hall is what it is. It's not a great place. I do this. I've mentioned this before. I do this wacky vacation with my
Your
friends.
Your head would be on a swivel at the Flats. Let me just tell you.
I do this wacky vacation with my friends. This will be the 10th year we're doing it this year. We go to three random cities. We tier the cities. One good city, one S city, one crap city. We're going to make the best out of it. The first year, we did Cleveland. Cleveland and Milwaukee and Chicago. Chicago, obviously, the best of the three. Milwaukee was the Cleveland was the dud. And believe me, it lived up to it. I've been there before. It's a dud's dud. And any place
it's
that
not
we
a
went
dud.
To, when you told people what you were doing here, because we obviously were out-of-towners, and some of my friends have that yeah guy type of accent, they're all like, what are you here for? Like, is there a business conference? And they're like, no, we're here for vacation. And all the locals looked at us like we had five heads, and rightfully so, because it's a hellhole. With that all said, we're going to get a Requiem for the Celtics season coming up here with B-Rob, Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal. Get his thoughts on this Kyrie Irving stuff going on and the potential of LeBron James maybe coming to the Celtics this summer. We'll do all that and more of your phone calls coming up here. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boston's going to have, he's going to have a conversation with Boston. They're going to go after him, make no mistake about it. So you've got Cleveland, Philly, Boston, 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 Boston. They're going to go after him, make no mistake about it.
Yeah, I took some editing liberties there. So what? Sports Hub Celtic Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Joining us here on the Expert Hotline, it's Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. B-Robb, been a minute. How are you?
Good, boys. How are you doing?
Very good. So you heard there the sound that shook the core of many a Celtic fan this week, that the Celtics will be sitting down with LeBron James this summer. I think they're just doing due diligence. But do you put any stock into this? Is there even just a smidge that it could happen that LeBron could be in a Celtics uniform next year?
Yeah, Jim, just when you think it's going to be a quiet offseason
right.
For once here, it's just this this Stephen A. Smith, not a bombshell, obviously, but no, it's something where the Celtics wouldn't look to be an option in this scenario. But clearly, if LeBron James is showing interest in your team, you have to do due diligence. And I'm very curious in terms of how it would line up based on a number of factors. If he did show that interest, based on the fact that he has a player option that he has to opt into before free agency starts, in order to facilitate a sign and trade, essentially. So if he really wants to do, you know, he's going to have to, like, it's going to be interesting to see how much the Cavs want to help him in this process of getting him to his next destination if he's going to leave there, because teams like the Celtics, Rockets, et cetera, would have to, you know, move some stuff back to Cleveland to make it happen. But, I mean, do I think it's going to happen? No. Am I, you know, very intrigued by all the subplots that it would create? Absolutely.
So, B-Rob, walk us through it a little bit. First of all, I just want to sort of eliminate stuff. So the idea of just if James opts out and the Celtics say, well, we just want to sign him as a free agent and give up nothing, they can't do that, right, with the salary cap?
Exactly. They can't do that unless LeBron is only going to sign for, like, $8 million a year, which he's been on the record saying he won't do in the past. So it would be a situation if they want to sign him outright, they would have to clear the decks out of a huge part of the roster. So it would mean, you know, trading Hayward to a team of cap room and trading other multiple pieces to create the necessary cap room. I just don't think that's feasible at all for the amount of parts. You'd have to dismantle a huge chunk of your roster to do that. The much more plausible scenario would be a sign and trade situation, or you know, he opts into his player option and then gets traded.
But even in a sign and trade, you would be looking at having to move Hayward, Horford, or Irving. One of those salaries would have to go.
Yes, 100%. One of those three guys would have to move in that scenario to make the math work. And I mean, I don't know about you, like even Irving, like if Irving's making probably $10 to $15 million less than what LeBron will be making next year, so even then you'd have to add on a bunch of stuff on top of him. The other guys would match up pretty well, Horford and Hayward.
Can also say goodbye to Marcus Smart.
So, all right, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much of a reality, but you mentioned Kyrie Irving. You have the sound from Chris Mannix on his podcast this week. I thought it was a little bit of a tell maybe from Mike Gorman when he was on a podcast saying that you know, it wasn't certain or nothing really for sure whether or not Kyrie would be here past next summer. So do you think that there's some smoke here? Kyrie Irving committed to being a member of the Celtics long term.
It's a situation to watch for sure, Jim, just based on the fact that he's not going to sign an extension this summer because that's more of a rules with the CBA. They're like, he'd be costing himself a lot of money if he did it now. He's much better off waiting until next year. So clearly that uncertainty is going to be there for both sides. And, you know, that next contract, you know, the Celtics, it's going to be a huge contract. It's going to start at over $35 million a year. He's probably going to want a 5-year max. And while, you know, it's still probably, I would say, like you, like a 90 to 95% chance that the Celtics would want to do that, you kind of have to wait to see how things look this year. You clearly have guys that are ready for more already with Tatum and Brown, and you might not want to lock yourself into that 100% if you're the Celtics. My guess is that they're going to. My guess is things go well next year. This is, you know, an afterthought, but it's a huge financial commitment for this team. It's going to limit their flexibility, and it's going to, you know, create some tough decisions down the road. So I would think both sides would want it. It's a pretty ideal situation for both sides, but, you know, I think both sides will be happy. I mean, Kyrie will want to keep his options open just based on, you know, how things end up throughout next season.
So just piggyback off of that, B-Rob, if things go really well, Kyrie plays great, the Celtics go to the championship, they actually topple the Warriors, do you think that would make Kyrie more or less likely to stay in Boston?
I would think more, just based off of the fact that this team is set up to contend for years. So if winning is a priority for him, and then this will still be his team in that scenario for at least the next 2 years, obviously I think it will be, you know, Jason Tatum's team, like, down the road. But, you know, Irving's going to be the guy while he's in his prime here. And so I would think that he gets, you know, if they pulled off next year and pull off that upset against the Warriors based on with this kind of supporting cast he has in place now, I would be very shocked to see him want to go to a place like, you know, New York or somewhere else where he might get more of the, you know, endorsements and things like that. But what exactly are you going to do there except, you know, probably little as a mediocre team for years to come.
All right, so let's just go under the assumption that there's not going to be LeBron and Celtics green this summer, and it's not going to be any kind of like big major moves like we've had in recent off seasons. What are some realistic things that you think this team should do to improve for next year, and who are some potential draft targets as well?
Yeah, Jim, so I would look, I mean, I think bringing back Aaron Bain should be a top priority just based on the fact that the center market is not good out there as far as free agents go. A lot of the guys that are out there are either out of your price range with, you know, the DeMarcus Cousins or Clint Capella types, and then you have the leftovers as, like, you know, Jahlil Okafor's, which really are Nerlens Noel guys that clearly have issues attached to them. So you bring them back, you probably try to bring Smart back if the price is right. And then if I'm looking at the free agent market, like, I'm just thinking about trying to bring in another shooter for the bench. Just because, you know, we saw obviously in that game seven that this team, you know, they're going to take a lot of threes and they can be reliant on a lot of, you know, iffy shooters in that department. So I'd love to bring in a sharpshooter, someone like Wayne Ellington from Miami, who will be a free agent. I mean, J.J. Redick is going to be a free agent. I don't know, again, depending if the Sixers use their max cap room, they won't be able to bring him back. So that could be something if he wants to, you know, take a big pay cut for the mid-level and come, you know, be a six-man off the bench. That would be a very intriguing fit there, too. And then, or, you know, they can look to the draft as well to kind of fill up the backcourt. I expect, you know, one of Rozier, Smart, Morris, I expect one of those guys not to be on the team next year, just as terms of trying to get some value moving forward, knowing that they're not going to be able to keep all three of those guys. So you can kind of fill that pipeline with someone like, you know, Jalen Brunson from Villanova, Gary Trent from Duke, just a couple guys there that have, you know, some interesting upside that, you know, won't help you right away, but will kind of help, you know, fill up that core in the backcourt to give you some offensive options going forward, because you're not going to be obviously to afford all this core beyond another year or two.
I want to ask you about, and you did just touch on the draft there, B-Rob, but I wanted to ask you about the draft here, because a lot of people, I think, in the NBA feel that this year's draft is stronger than next year's. And we know that the Celtics pick from the 76ers has now gone into next year's draft, into 2019. Is there any chance that the Celtics try and use that pick to get into this year's draft? Higher in this year's draft,
higher,
I should say. Yes,
draft?
To get up into the lottery where maybe you're looking at a Michael Porter, or if Luka Doncic drops, or one of these bigs like a Jaren Jackson or a Mo Bamba drops, that you can chase him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If there's a guy that falls, that they fall in love with, that kind of falls into their range, there's no question that I think they'll be, you know, aggressive in looking at it, knowing with one of these, especially if they can use a Rozier or a Morris, attach that to that Sacramento pick as kind of the bait to kind of move up to a spot in the lottery where they could add one of those impact names. Now, I don't expect those guys to be able to fall to a spot where they'll be able to do that, but you never know, because Porter obviously has the issues with his, from a physical standpoint, that might cause his stock to drop. And there's, you know, Danny Ainge has not been afraid to, you know, make some noise on this in the future, and they clearly have, you know, there's not a need to wait for more draft picks in the future in that weaker class, like you said, Chris, if you can add someone now and try to work them into this core now, since the contending window will start now. So that's something to be on the lookout for next Thursday night. And, you know, I expect things to stand pat overall, but if they do make a move, I bet it would be something around those lines.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, is it more realistic that if somehow this Sacramento pick gets dealt, is it more realistic that it gets used in that fashion than, say, in a trade for an established star like a Anthony Davis or a Karl Anthony Towns, if it gets traded at all?
Yeah, I would think that realistically it's more likely to get used in this fashion, like trading up in a draft like this, because at this point the superstar options that you have to deal for this offseason, I think, are kind of slim and none with Anthony Davis obviously off the table, I think. I think Kawhi Leonard might be out there, but I'm not positive of just how there's a lot of question marks there in terms of his future. He's an expiring deal. Is he going to commit to an extension or not? I don't think they make a big move there unless they get some assurances there. So whereas, you know, if they like a guy here, the Sacramento pick, the new lottery system next year, you're really not sure where that pick's going to land. So if they can get a sure thing out of this year's draft because of it, I think they definitely could go for that.
All right, so B-Rob, season's obviously over. You'll continue to write on the Celtics at bostonsportsjournal.com, but what the hell else are you going to do? You like going to go to Summer League or anything like that?
Yeah, no. I'll be just booked the tickets for Vegas, Jim. So
oh.
Got a full 9 days in Vegas. No Utah this year.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, no Utah Summer League, huh?
No Utah Summer League, just straight Vegas for, 10 days. I may or may not be alive at the end of it.
That's a long time to be in that city.
That's a long time, yeah. It's a long time, especially on Bedard's bill, huh?
All right, Brian Robb covers the Celtics for BostonSportsJournal.com. Also follow him on Twitter, at Brian T. Robb. Always a pleasure, and maybe we'll talk to you after the draft next week.
All right, sounds good, boys. All
thanks,
right.
B-Rob.
Again, Brian Robb of BostonSportsJournal.com. So, if not Boston, and it's probably not going to be Boston, but where will LeBron James end up going this summer? We're going to discuss, along with your calls, at 617-779-0985. That's next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 Sports Hub.
I think sometimes when you see greatness like his every night, you can start to take it for granted. But what he was able to do in this year's playoffs, to me, was truly one of the great things he's ever accomplished in his career.
The one thing that I've always done is consider, obviously my family. Understanding, especially where my boys are at this point in their age. They were a lot younger. The last time I made a decision like this 4 years ago, I got a teenage boy, a preteen, a little girl right now that wasn't around as well. So, sitting down and considering everything, but, my family is a huge part of whatever I've decided to do. I'm in my career and they will continue to be that. So I don't have an answer for you right now as far as that.
All right, so it's about family business for LeBron James in terms of making his decision this summer. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris, I feel like, I don't know, my gut just keeps telling me, and most people I think feel this way, at least those that are far more plugged into the NBA than I ever will be, that it's going to be the Lakers, that it's just going to almost like be a complete rebuild with the Lakers, and maybe Paul George goes there, or maybe it's another all-star to join
maybe
him there.
Maybe Kawhi forces a trade there.
Yeah, it just feels like, he's got a home there. It feels like that's the most logical fit.
It would set him up for, he's doing the production stuff. He has Survivor's Remorse? He has that show. And then he has the other show.
Right. Yeah,
what's that show, The Wall or something? Is that still on?
I don't know
about
a
game
that
show. Anyways, he's into the entertainment industry, so it would make sense and set him up for his post NBA career. So Jimmy Stewart had an interesting theory yesterday about Houston and global money.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Well, so they're still a big, they're still one of the more marketable teams internationally because of Yao Ming.
Sure.
And, him playing there. So, yeah, that would make sense. I just think in terms of living there and marketability, like Houston,
You love Houston.
Oh, no, it's an all right city for the most part. But still, if I'm LeBron James, is that really the best fit? Is Mike D'Antoni the guy that you're going to... Yeah, look, ultimately, LeBron would, in a lot of sense, take over like he typically does. Yeah. But I don't know. It just feels like that's a bit of a wonky fit to me. I know most odds makers have that happening. It says where he ends up with the Houston Rockets. But I don't know. I just think L.A. seems like the better fit.
But you're not going to win there now. I mean,
no.
I think even if... the only way they could do it, and I don't know the salary cap machinations that would make this possible or if it's even possible. If he could somehow get... Because Chris Paul can opt out. So if Chris Paul opts out, leaves Houston, and somehow it is LeBron, Chris Paul, and Kawhi in L.A., and you still have Kyle Kuzma on the team, you got a shot.
Well, there's another permutation that's been floated out there. I think Jimmy Stewart mentioned this, too, is that there'd be a trade for James Harden to Toronto to get DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry there.
I don't get that one, though, because Paul and Lowry, that seems redundant to
me.
And you're small. That's a small team. And Paul and Lowry can be good defenders, but it's not always consistent. And you're going to get switched on constantly.
Well, going back to the first part of that clip that we played, though, that's Jeff Van Gundy last night as that awful game was wrapping up. That he still calls this maybe the greatest accomplishment of LeBron's career to get this team and this collection of bums The finals. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I wrote that before. I wrote that after he beat the Celtics, and you know, some people ripped me for it. I mean, again, to use that dream team analogy, this is like getting Angola to the gold medal game. I mean, that's what this guy did. When you look at the team, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he had nothing. Dude, I still look at this and think, the Celtics lost a Game 7 at home, and they were clearly the better team, and they lost to LeBron and Jeff Green. Jeff Green.
And Jeff Green was good in Game 6,
Jeff Green
six,
was the
too.
Second best player.
No, and Rodney Hood was good in these finals for a couple of games. Like, it's insane. Like, these guys are bums.
I mean, Kevin Love's, you know, for what he is at this point in his career, and I have always loved Kevin Love, and I think at this point that ship has sailed. I think he got to Cleveland, and they just sort of, you know, he got a little sort of beaten down, lost his confidence a little as a player, doesn't play through the post as much. So he's still a good player, but LeBron's not working with a lot there. And they were completely outgunned by Golden State.
Yeah, it's up there. But the greatest accomplishment? Look, I'm sitting across from someone who doesn't care that much about championships. You just like, you know, successful seasons. You still champion the 16.
Top of the table matters.
For the Patriots.
Top of the table matters.
Top of the table still matters to you. So, okay, maybe it means more to you. I just, you can't go, for me, coming back 3-1 with Cleveland a few years ago against Golden State and then winning that championship.
Okay. Like, that this is an interesting, let's have this discussion if we have the time. Because, yeah.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. So, yes, that was a great accomplishment, but he was part of a super team. He had Kyrie and Kevin Love playing with him. J.R. Smith was still alive then and playing. So it was like a completely different situation. And go back and watch. This is a complete, you know, tantrum I'm about to go on. But the other day I switched my cable boxes. They brought in that X1 box. And so when they do that,
braggart,
whatever's on the previous box is gone. So I was like, there's some things I want to watch before it goes. One of them I still had on the box. I DVR'd the fourth quarter of the 2016 NBA Finals Game 7. LeBron was terrible. And other than the block, there was not a single play he made in that fourth quarter of that game. And then Kyrie hits the three. So I don't think that's his greatest accomplishment. And by the way, they don't even win that series if Draymond doesn't get suspended. So I think his greatest accomplishment is either this or 2007 when he dragged, the last time a team got swept, when he dragged a team that was a terrible Cleveland team to the finals. They get swept by the Spurs. And I think it's unfair that when he takes these teams that have no business being in the finals to the finals and then gets eviscerated, everybody looks at LeBron and is like, well, you should do better. The miracle is that he even got these bum teams to the finals in the first place.
What else was on that cable box? Did you have some old episodes of Silk Stockings?
No, but there was an old... I tell you what, I had actually on the Pop Channel DVR'd an old episode of 90210. It was Brandon and Kelly, the wedding, when they decided not to go through with it. I watched that as well.
Yes, sir.
Jim, if I may say, Silk Stockings, that was always after Monday Night Raw. So many times on the VHS tape, I had old episodes of Silk Stockings.
Oh, really?
Probably for about 20 minutes because, you know, 3 hours of Raw.
Yeah, that was on there. And then
you made yourself 3 hours of Raw.
That's right, buddy.
I would imagine so.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, hey,
TMI there, Jim.
Peter and JP on LeBron James. Go ahead, Peter.
I actually have 2 points, but I think LeBron is definitely going to go to the Western Conference. I don't think, the Celtics are like the Cavaliers' chief rival. I mean, and I think if he goes back home, he's going to get booed mercilessly. So I think he's going to go to the West Coast. I think he's going to LA. He's got a house up there. But the thing about Kyrie Irving, Danny took a huge risk, okay? Superstar, granted. Bad knee, granted. Free agent, granted. So, I mean, if someone gets into their free agent year, I mean, they can go anywhere. There's no, I don't know why people are so surprised that, you know, they thought Kyrie Irving was definitely going to sign with Boston. Makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, and Peter, thanks for the call. I know he's been a little bit down on him before. There was a point earlier in the season, or as we got into the playoffs, that he actually, and I think it was one of those people that said Terry Rozier was just as good as Kyrie and could move on from Kyrie. Like, that part to me is asinine. But yeah, I'm definitely guilty, Chris, of it's been a perfect fit. It looked like, you know, we have our superstar here. It's a perfect fit both on and off the court. Seems like he and Brad Stevens get along well. Like, okay, yeah, I know it was going to come up, but I'm not worried about that at all. Kyrie Irving will be here. With this stuff from Chris Mannix and Mike Gorman this week, like, it feels like that's no longer a certainty, and that's concerning. I don't know how you can't be concerned as a Celtics fan.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it is concerning, but still, look at the alternative. I mean, what Danny ended up giving up in that deal, and they knew that they were, or felt at the time, they were giving up a lot for a transcendent player, which is what they wanted, but they kept Jaylen Brown out of the deal. They kept Jason Tatum out of the deal. Heck, they even kept Terry Rozier out of the deal, and that was huge. Go back. If you don't make that deal, then what do you have? You have an injured Isaiah Thomas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have this Brooklyn pick, which is now the number 8 pick, which is good, but it's not great. Jay Crowder? I mean, if Jay Crowder's here, do you think the kids get to play as much?
No, no.
Well, did you miss Jicic? Was he a guy you missed this
no,
year?
No, no.
He got some nice garbage time minutes last night.
Nice mop-up duty from Ante Zizic last night. You know, the guy that was the next Shaq, I was being told from a lot of Celtics fans when I drafted him. Yes, that's a superstar in the making. Ante Zizic. Brad Watt's trying to tell me Zizic is the next superstar. Watch him post up against a chair on YouTube.
I always thought he was the next Semi or Den, but I'm not even sure he's on that level yet.
Stinks. Okay, we have no commercials here. Just Mike Sarge Riley to get you caught up on the Hub headline. Sarge, were you also a USA Up All Night viewer? Do you remember that show?
I remember it.
With Rhonda Shear, busty Rhonda Shear. Do you remember that one, Chris?
I don't remember that.
Didn't watch it, but I remember it, though.
USA Up All Night. It was that was great. That got me through like 8th and 9th grade. I'm an older man, Sarge, so that's probably
not
all
quite all right. No problem.
All right, well, get us caught up with the Hub headlines. We'll come back. We'll get back to the Patriots conversation. And if you want to still weigh in on anything Celtics related, maybe Kyrie going to the Knicks? Huh? That make you a scared Celtics fan? How about LeBron in a Celtics uniform? You know you want it. 617-779-0985. All that right for the Hub headlines. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.